Well, today we are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as the body of Christ. But before we do, I thought it would be good to look at this passage together from Luke 19, being the beginning of the year somewhat, I thought I would ask the questions, what plans have you made for the year? What plans have you made for the year? I've got to be honest, when we got this role at Scots, I would not imagine last year being here 1 year later in Melbourne. But when the new year rolled around, Rachel, my wife, and I made some plans. There were a number of things that we wanted to do this year. Exercise more, pray more, grumble less. That's for me, not Rachel. But there's a question I think about, and it's, how am I seeking the kingdom of God in my life? I really appreciated what Sen read from Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You know, as followers of Jesus, it's important that we follow Jesus to seek his kingdom in all that we do. And let me ask you, do we make plans remembering that we are servants of the King? That his rule and his will should rule over our lives? Today, as we look at Luke chapter 19, I want to talk about three things as we seek the kingdom. Number one, being servants or subjects of the kingdom. Being servants or subjects of the kingdom. That's number one. Number two, seeking the kingdom. And number three, the generous king. So number one, servants or subjects of the kingdom. Two, seeking the kingdom. And three, the generous king. Let's talk about that first point, being servants or subjects of the kingdom. Maybe you notice, but there are a variety of different characters within the passage. There are servants and there are subjects. Let's have a look at the passage together. If you do have your Bibles open, and I think it'll be on the screen too, but we'll look at Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 12. Let me read. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem. And he thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. Therefore, he said, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king and then to return. I need to give you a little context to this passage. Here, Jesus is drawing near to Jerusalem. The crowd around him recognize that Jesus is to be king, the king that they have been waiting for from God. And so if you put yourself in their shoes, they think that the kingdom of God has arrived. So Jesus, he tells this parable, doesn't he, in order to help them understand that the kingdom of God will not come fully when he arrives into Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus would eventually get the kingdom after his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Ascending to heaven, standing before the Father, receiving the kingdom. And Jesus tells of two groups. Let's read the verses 13 and 14. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 minas, and told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. Now he gives them a choice as to whether they are in one group or in another. And at this point, I want to ask you the following. Which group are you in? Are you a servant or are you a subject? Are you a servant who was asked to do business, or are you the subject who hates him? Let me tell you, you are either one of the two from the parable, and there is no third group. You are either a servant or a subject of the kingdom. And I suspect many of us here today say that, yes, I am a servant of the King Jesus. You know, most of us will profess that we are Christians. Most of us say that we follow Jesus. But I want to say for a moment, don't assume that you are a servant. Because a servant allows every part of their life to be ruled by their master. On the other hand, subjects don't want the king to rule over them. So I want to, for a moment, issue a challenge to us all. Are you really a servant? Or are you a subject? Could it possibly be that we are subjects and not servants? Are there areas of your life where you absolutely refuse to let Jesus rule over? Maybe there's an area of your finances, your possessions, over the way you work, maybe relationship that you have. Now, please don't hear me saying, oh, you need to be perfect, because that's not what being a Christian is about. You are never perfect until you reach heaven. But the truth is, every aspect of your life needs to be continuously given over, surrendered to Jesus. You know that hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." You know, the truth is, our lives are not perfect, and that's why Jesus had to come. But when we follow Jesus, we slowly hand over every aspect of our lives. Is there an area where you're clenching on like a subject and not a servant? But let's assume that you are a servant. Let's talk about the importance of seeking the kingdom of God. That's my second point. Because a servant is one who recognizes that what they have been given in this life has been given from God. You see, here in this parable, they're each given a mina. It's a fair amount of money for them. And I really appreciate it that you've got your phones out looking at the Bible. And if you look at that passage, your Bibles will say that a mina is worth 100 days of wages, which is about a third of a yearly wage. Now, each servant is put in charge of something that is not theirs, it's their master's, and they are told to, as we see in the passage, engage in business. Engage in business until Jesus returns. The word used is something along the lines of be pragmatic, be busy, make money with what they're given. They are stewards. Maybe you know the term trustee or guardian. Now, if you're a servant, you need to realize that what we have been given in this lifetime has been given from Jesus Christ, from our Father in heaven. You might be envious of other people, but when you realize that everything you have is from Jesus, you realize that it's all on loan. And when you realize it's all on loan from him, then you realize that it should really change the way you handle it. Let me ask, is there an area that God has entrusted you with that you're not taking responsibility for? You know, maybe it's your money or your time. Maybe some of you are studying and you're not working as hard as you could be studying. Because God has given you the time at university or high school, whatever, so that you can grow. Now, is there an area of your life that God has entrusted you with that you're not taking responsibility for? On the other hand, maybe there is an area of your life where you're taking too much responsibility that it's not yours to take. Maybe you feel overly responsible for a friend or a family member, and you're trying to control them. I liked what Sen prayed earlier, that we might have the idol of control. We're trying to control someone in our lives. You know, our lives are not to be lived for ourselves, but rather to seek the kingdom of God first. So let's continue with the parable, and let's see what the servants do with what they've been given. Verse 15, at his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those servants he had given the money to so that they could find out how much they had made in business. The first came forward and said, "Master, your mina has earned 10 more minas." "Well done, good servant," he told him, "because you have been faithful in a small amount, in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns." The second came and said, "Master, your mina has made 5 minas. So he said to him, you will be over five towns. Do you know that there is going to be a day when Jesus returns and he'll ask you one of the most important questions that you'll have to answer, and it's this. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? Now, maybe you're a little like me and you're thinking, oh, he's going to ask me about my money. But let me tell you, it's more than that. It's everything that you have, the circumstances that you find yourself in, the resources that you have. Have a think about it. When I was younger, as Sen introduced me, I decided to do law, commerce, a combined commerce and law degree. It was a five-year degree, and I did that at the University of New South Wales in Sydney. And the reason, do you know the reason why I did law? Was because in my last year of high school, when I finished my year 12, I got the mark to do law. And I said to myself, well, I should just do it then, because I got the mark. I didn't know what else I wanted to do. But throughout my five-year degree, I would whinge to my friends about how much I did not enjoy it. I said to them, oh, it's too much reading. All I do is read, read, and read. But if I had taken this passage seriously, I would have seen that my law degree was part of the minor given to me by the Lord. And then one day, he may ask me, on that last day, he'll say, Justin, what did you do with that law degree I gave you? And I'll have to give an answer. Your minors, brothers and sisters, includes the time, the money, the resources, the circumstances you find yourself in, but it also includes the people that God places in your circles. The people here, look around you. God has given you your brothers and sisters to serve. These people may only be in your circle for a limited amount of time, but I pray that we would be on the lookout for the opportunities to use our minors well. I was recently reading a book called 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman. Do you know what 4,000 weeks represents? 4,000 weeks? 4,000 weeks represents the average age of a person before they die. If you reach 80 years old, that's 4,000 weeks. It's a very short amount of time, isn't it? And yet God tells us to use the time well. So we can be like the first or the second servant, or we can be like the third servant. Let's continue the story, verse 20. And another came and said, Master, here is your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you. Since you're a harsh man, you collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. And he told him, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servants. If you knew I was a harsh man, collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest. So he said to those standing there, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Now we can be like the third servant who hides what he's been given, who doesn't use it for the master's glory. You know, are we stingy with our possessions? Are we hoarding our money away, perhaps out of fear when we're told to invest it in the kingdom? I love that Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because he knows that we are to be provided for by our Heavenly Father. You know, do we keep our time to ourselves instead of being busy for the kingdom? I mean, are we busy getting ahead in our careers by forgetting our family? You know, we have a choice. We can be busy in a way that shows that we know that everything we have is on loan. Or we can be busy in a way where we believe that everything we have is ours. We can live not trusting our Heavenly Father. And the truth is, nothing we have is ours. Maybe we're looking at what we have in our lives and we compare ourselves to other people. We say, oh, Justin, I know what you're saying, but if only I was like such and such, I would be more generous. I'll use it well for Jesus if I was like that person. But do you notice that each of the 10 servants is given the exact same amount of money in this parable? That each person is given one mina only. And it says a lot about our comparing with others and our lack of contentment, right? Because what we've been given has been given through the wisdom and the sovereignty and the love of God. Because if we're all given one mina, it means that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to others and what they're given. God knows exactly what you need and has given you exactly what you require. You know, every amount is allotted to you by Jesus. You know, just reflect on that for one moment, will you? We might think that we've been given a bad hand, but in the eyes of our Lord Jesus, He's given each and every one of us one mina. And the question isn't so much, oh, what about him or her? It's, what are you going to do with it for me? That's what Jesus is saying to you. And let me be clear though, following Jesus may not be easy. Seeking the kingdom means following him, and Jesus says elsewhere that no servant is above his master. Serving the kingdom requires suffering at times, because he himself, to get the kingdom, went through to the cross, didn't he? It was through suffering that he got the cross, that he got the kingdom. But maybe it's a deeper issue for you, just like it was for this servant, this third servant. Because do you notice how interesting the servant's response is to the Lord, the master? This third servant, verse 21, he says, I was afraid of you because you're a harsh man. You collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. Let me ask you, is this third servant right in his assessment of the master? Is he right? Is the master harsh? No, he's not. This brings us to our last point, the generous king. You know, by definition, the master can do whatever he wants with the minas that he's given out. He can do whatever he wants with the servants. But if we reflect on it further, is Jesus a hard master? Here we see him treat the first two servants. You know, he didn't need to do that. He's so generous with them. And yet the servants are only doing what the master has asked them to do. And yet he is generous with them. He allows them to share in the riches with him. What master does that with his servants? The master had the right to own everything, and yet he shares it. Just like on that final day, Jesus will indeed share the riches of his glorious inheritance with us who are found in him. You know, when Jesus returns, he returns to rule, and that's what he'll do over this world. He'll renew it, remove sin, and it will be given authority over this creation along with him. And as Jesus' friends, we will rule with him in the new heavens and the new earth. And so, really, there are two choices, aren't there? We can be like the first two servants who make much of what they've been given, minors, multiply tenfold, fivefold. And to those servants, Jesus will be the one who gives much more. He will allow us to rule with him in the next life. What a privilege to enter into that joy with the King, with King Jesus. But let me ask you this final question. Can you look at the cross of Jesus and say that Jesus is a heart master? You know, whilst we were still his enemies, Christ died for you and for me. That he would give up his life for wretched sinners like you and for me. If we see him as a generous and gracious master, which he is, by the way, you know, we're going to be gracious and generous with what we've been given. Because we get to share in it when Jesus returns. But here's the warning again, brothers and sisters. Have a look one more time at one more verse, verse 27. And it's directed to those who may be subjects and not servants. But bring here these enemies of mine who do not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. And here's a warning that this parable gives. And at the beginning I asked, what are you doing as you wait for Jesus to return? Maybe you're living your own life, your way, not willing to acknowledge that Jesus is King, ignoring that Jesus will return. And to you, I say, the fact that Jesus hasn't returned just yet is a mercy on us all. It's a chance for you to become a servant and not a subject. Because time is running out and there will be a point where you won't be able to become a servant. But to us who are servants of his, realize that he is merciful, that he is generous, that he is gracious, that he is never a hard master. So let me ask you again, will you follow Jesus? Will you be his servant and not a subject? And if so, how are you going to follow Jesus? What area of your life do you need to hand over? And may I encourage you to spend a moment reflecting on that as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Let me pray.